So we're at part 12 of our series on financial freedom. And as Pastor Tom talked about this morning, you know, just knowing and having knowledge does not free you. It's the application of knowledge that brings freedom, right? And so this God is working with his children in the earth to produce kingdom results. He doesn't do it independently. If you look throughout the Bible, there is nowhere that God does things independently from his creation. I mean, even the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egypt was done with him working in conjunction with Moses. The parting of the Red Sea. He said, stretch forth your hand and see the might of the Lord. Right? So we have to have faith in God and what he's called us to do, his principles, what he's speaking to us, and we have to put action to it. James says that faith without an action is dead. And I don't know about you, I don't want anything dead in my life, right? So we got to apply this stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a God of full supply. You are a God of more than enough. You are a God of all sufficiency. You have everything that we need in you, and you are not stingy, but you're gracious. You're a giver. Matter of fact, you get excited when your children draw from you. So this morning, we draw from you from the Word of God. We draw from you from the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. We draw from you the power to make wealth, that you might establish your covenant in the earth. We're covenant kids, Lord. We have a covenant with our Father. We have a covenant with our Daddy. And you are faithful. Empower us with the strength to be faithful in return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we're going to start right off there in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who giveth you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he has sworn to your fathers, as it is this day. As it is this day, right? It's always this day, right? Every day is this day. And God has given us power to make wealth. You know, it's. I heard this just this week. I think it was this week or last week, but it was a guy talking about Jesus after the resurrection, and the disciples were discouraged and they were gone and they were out. They decided, I'm going fishing. They went back to what they originally were doing before the Savior showed up on the scene, and they went fishing, and they were fishing all night. And they didn't have any luck. Remember this story? They were fishing all night, and they weren't having any luck, and they were coming into shore, and they're seeing this person up on the bank. And they're up on the bank, and they had a fire going and stuff, and they didn't know who it was. And he calls out to them and says, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. And he says, well, let's down for a catch. And so they let their nets down for the catch, and what happened? They got another net-breaking, boat-sinking catch of fish. And what did John say? It must be the Lord. It must be the Lord. You know, if most Christians were to tell that story today, you know what they'd say, how it'd go? They let down the nets for a catch, and they brought it up, and there was a couple fish in it. Some were floating, they were dead, and they say, it must be the Lord. Think about that. They thought their nets were filled to overflowing, to breaking, and they turned to each other and says, it must be Jesus. That's the power to get wealth. See, we read this, and we read it kind of institutionally, like a law or a statement. This is the Father's heart. This is your Father's heart that says, remember me, boys. Remember me, girls. I give you the power to make wealth. Because I want to establish my covenant through you. I want to let my light shine through you. I want to make people say, God is awesome through you. That's it. We got to wake up. This is my last, hopefully I get through today. But we got to wake up. This is a relationship that we have with God Almighty. These aren't rules and things that we do. It's not even a formula. It's something that we believe that creates character within us. It's something that all of a sudden becomes the very life that we live. And so many of us, we've heard these things, and a lot of this stuff that we've talked through this series, you've heard, you know, but you don't believe. And there's a big difference between knowing and believing. And I run into people that know all the time. Oh, I know that by his stripes I'm healed. I've heard that, Pastor. Oh, I know that he provides for the sparrows and how much more will he provide for me? I know that, Pastor. I know that he bore my sicknesses and carried my disease. I know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know God loves me. I know. But they don't believe it. And there's a big difference between knowing and believing. There's a big difference. We talked about barns and how God wants you to have barns, right? He's not against you having barns. Remember the parable? I can't go through all this again, but remember? Jesus gave a parable. He was a farmer, and he had a record crop that came in. He had a record crop that came in, and he didn't know what to do with it. And his barns were full. They were popping at the seams. So he decided to use worldly wisdom, and his worldly wisdom was, well, God must have gave all this stuff just for me. So I'm just going to sit back, build bigger barns, and sit back and enjoy life and not worry about a thing for the rest of my life. And he died the next night. Life is so much more than you. We're here for eternal purpose. We're here for people. We're here to shed abroad the love of God upon humanity. And God blesses us to establish his covenant. And in Matthew chapter 25, I gotta keep going because I know where I'm going and I've got a lot. In Matthew chapter 25, this parable we shared last week of the talents. I'm going to read it to you again. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said to him, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and I gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And we asked the question last week, which one are you? Which one are you? And I want you to notice the response that each one gave with what they had done with the talent. The first one said, what did he say? He said, I have gained 5 more. The Lord's response was, I will make you ruler over many things. The next one says, I have gained 2 more. The Lord's response was, I will make you ruler over many things. The third one says, I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent. And the Lord's response was, take the talent from him and give it to him, the one that had 10 talents. Now that's important, because I'm going to come back to that. Keep that in mind. We're talking about the triple X factor. The triple X factor through Billy Epphart. Again, he's a teacher at Karis Bible College. He teaches in the business school. He's been in real estate. He's owned businesses. He's done a lot of awesome things. I strongly encourage you to check out his website and check him out, his YouTube channel, all of that stuff. He's got great materials. One of the books that I strongly recommend you getting is Mastering Money. Money Mastery, I think it's called. A lot of this stuff come out of that book. So anyways, this triple X factor, this triple X was a theory, financial theory that Billy believed that the Lord had gave him, and he teaches this and shares it with people. And just really briefly, what we got here is this is the triple X factor. So we have your monthly income on this side, years on this side. We got 5 years and up to $10,000. Each dash, remember, is a month out of that year. These dots are supposed to represent your income and expenditures through that month. Each dot represents the month, right? And we talked about this. For most Americans, they have more expenses than they have income, and that's not a good thing, in case you didn't know that. What you want to do is you want to get your expenses down where your income raises above it, and that creates your first X. Most Christians aren't at their first X yet. What's your first X? First X is, I have more money than I have days in the month. That's a good thing, right? So what happens when you have more money than you have days in the month? You have extra money. And with that extra money, what can you do with it? Well, you could spend it. You could use it to go into debt, more debt. Or you could say, you know what? I'm going to start investing this money so it starts making more money for me. And what happens is as you gain assets, as you start investing, it grows and it gets above your expenses. And at this place right here, at this point right here, is a place of financial freedom where you can quit your job and just live on stewarding assets, right? So that creates your second X. And then your third X is when your assets are growing, you get to the place where, hey, life is good. My barns are full. I don't need a thing in the world. Who needs another car? Who needs another TV? You know, there's only so many days in the year to go on vacation. And you're up here and you're saying, what am I going to do? I have more than I need. And then you can just start giving into the kingdom. You can start changing culture. You can start influencing cities. You can start influencing the world for the kingdom of God. And this is a place of great significance in the kingdom of God. Right? So we went through all that. And we discussed building your first X, because that's where most people have to get to. They have to get to the building your first X. And what do we talk about? The number one thing you need to do to get to your first X is invest in your number one asset. What is your number one asset? I gave it away. You are your number one asset. You need to be making investments into yourself. The next step was live off 80 and work to 70%, right? Because with that 80, that means you're paying the bills with the 80%. You're having fun. You're going on date night. You're drinking your lattes or whatever you want to do with that 80%. Do whatever you want. But with the other 20%, you're sowing into the kingdom because you're partnering with God and you're investing it through somebody that 5% of it with somebody that is a professional investor, and the other 5, you're doing it investing personally. We talked about different ways to invest personally to start off with, right? Because why not just give it all to a professional investor? Because it doesn't change you. It doesn't change the way you see money. It doesn't change, you don't start getting that mindset that I'm supposed to be letting money make money. Instead of earning money, we make money. There's a big difference in that, right? And you might be thinking, Chad, I don't have time to do all this. That's a lie. I'm so tired of hearing that. Do you know why I know you have time to do this? Because you have as much time as I do. You just choose to do other things with your time. Right? Everybody has 24 hours in the day. You just deem that other things are more important. And as the theologian Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? Anyways, the next thing is know what an asset is. So many people don't understand what an asset is. They think if they buy a speedboat, if they buy a car, that's an asset for them. If they think their big screen TV is an asset, those are not assets because they depreciate in value. Another thing is you got to eliminate bad debt. Not all debt is created equal. Yes, it is best not to have any debt whatsoever, but not all debt is created equal. You understand that? For instance, a debt on a mortgage on a house that is appreciating is better than paying the same amount out in rent. Right? Debt on an investment property that is paying the debt plus paying you, is it best if there was no debt on it at all? Yes, but it's good debt. It's not best. Best debt is not to have any debt. But do you understand what I'm saying? There's different. Bad debt are things like credit card debt. Bad debt are even car debt is not good. It's not good. And you got to use wisdom when you're using debt, right? I've had car debt. I've had bad debt. I've learned from the school of stupid, right? That's doing stupid things with your money, and then I learned from it. It's a lot better to pay for someone else's wisdom on money than to pay with your own money doing stupid stuff. Right? You're going to pay whether one way or the other, no matter what. The other thing is we talked about that getting to your first X is not so much about mastering money as it is mastering yourself. Mastering oneself, having self-discipline, having a work ethic, being motivated, having vision, right? So now we're going to look at another parable that Jesus taught. In Luke chapter 19, verse 12, Jesus says, "Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas." Minas, whatever those are. It's about a month's wage. "And said to them, do business till I come. Do business till I come," he says. "But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. But even though the citizens didn't care for him, his servants did what he said." In verse 15, "And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, Well done, good servant. Because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. Verse 18, and the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, You also, over 5 cities. Then the other came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man, who collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, Out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, Take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. Why then did you not put... He has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Even the best of us make mistakes. No. But anyways, so we got these two parables that we read today, right? The parable of the talents and the parable of the minas. And they both give us incredible insight into the mind of God. Let's compare the two. First, in the talents, the servants received money according to their ability, right? In the talents, each one received a certain amount of money according to their own ability. In the minas, they were given about 3 months' wages each, and all of them received the same amount of money, right? So one, they were given to their ability, and the other, everyone received the same amount of money. In the talents, the faithful servant said to the master, I have made you more talents. In the minas, the faithful servant said to him, Master, your minas have made you more minas. In the talents, the faithful servants were rewarded by being put over many things. In the minas, the faithful servants were given authority over cities. So what does this tell us? The parable of the talents tells us that God rewards hard work and faithfulness. But the parable of the minas shows us the secret of having influence over cities lies in the ability to understand the power to get wealth. One, they were working to increase their talents. I have done this. The other one, they learned the secret of how money can make money for you. And when you get to a place where your money is making money for you and you get to a place of wealth, pretty soon you have authority over cities. See, those servants figure out how money works instead of working for their money. Most people are taught to earn money, to save money, and to get out of debt. Right? Is that what we hear all the time? You got to save. You got to make money. You got to stay out of debt. And those are all good, and I recommend it, all of them. But debt elimination is not the highest point of freedom. And it does not give us the authority in our spheres that God intends the children of God to walk in. Until we move past just earning money to making money, we will never experience true financial freedom. building your second X. See, in the first X, see, I had decided how deep or how intricate I wanted to go in this. And I decided I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to get into the minute details of building your second X. And I don't want to carry the responsibility of what you guys decide to do with your money. That's between you, God, and you seeking out wisdom for yourself. But we're going to have some good ideas here. See, because in the first X, you trade your time and talents for money, right? And that's why it's so important to invest in yourself, because you do not get paid for your time. You get paid for your what? Your value. You get paid for your value. And that's as you start sowing into yourself and making yourself more value, your pay goes up. So in the second X, though, it's passive income. It's passive income. You're not trading a bunch of time for money anymore. Your money is making money for you. You understand that? It's income or asset income that comes from positive cash flow through assets that increase in value over time. A good analogy is this. If someone gets a job straight out of college, right? He gets a job straight out of college. He invested in himself, right? He invested in himself to go to college. Hopefully he knows something, just didn't get a piece of paper, right? And I'm telling you, college is not for everyone. College is not for everyone. There's trade schools. There's ways to getting education. Even though I say college isn't for everyone, I'm not saying education isn't for everyone, right? There's a lot of people that spend $100,000 going to college to go into a job market that pays $40,000 to $50,000. That makes no sense whatsoever. And then they think that it's somebody else's fault. College should at least teach them that basic math, that if it's going to cost me this much to go to school, and this is how much the job pays when I get out of school, I'll be paying on that for 50 years. Right? Our education system, unfortunately, you got to be a little educated before you go into the education system. I'll stop talking about that before. But a person goes to college, gets a job, and as they get a job, what happens? They gain experience, right? They get understanding on what happens in the job. And what happens is as they get more experience, they start getting paid more. Why do you get paid more the longer you're at a place? Because you get understanding, you get experience, you get better at your job. Right? And you increase in value to the company. That's what your assets, that's what an asset is. An asset is something that you invest in at this point here, and then it grows in value all by itself. Right? It grows in value all by itself. Your assets should be doing the same thing for you. Wealth is created by gaining more assets. So primary income producing assets. First one is rent from real estate, or you could flip homes, but rent from real estate. And I'm just going to say, listen, anything I say here, I'm not recommending you do anything. It's all on you, right? But where can you, and let's say you have a $100,000 house, and you invest $20,000 in a down payment for it. Okay? Immediately, you're making, that house is increasing in value on the $100,000, not just the $20,000. And then someone comes in and rents it from you, makes the payment for you, and usually, if you buy right, you get increase off their rent also. What I've read, see, I read these things. I do these things. I read, it's pretty basic. You either got to make, after all your expenses are done, you got to make a minimum of $150 a door, or 1 to 1.5% of the value of the home. So immediately, you have someone else paying off your investment. Where else can you do that? That's amazing. That's awesome. And then on top of it, I'm getting in deeper water now. The tax write-offs and the tax benefits of it are huge. You need to seek this stuff out. Profits from a business. See, what's the difference between a business owner and someone that's self-employed? The self-employed person is still working for his paycheck, where a business owner now is capitalizing on other people to do more business for him than he can do on his own, and he doesn't even have to be there while they're doing it. A good business owner will be there sometime. You know, you got to manage. But you know what I'm saying? And at the same time, he's blessing the community. Business owners are a blessing to the community. They create economy. They create jobs. They are blessing and raising the standard of living for other people, right? There's nothing wrong with being a business owner. So you can make business off other people working for you. Another thing is capital distributions from a business, and that's like bonuses. You guys are gonna have to. I can't go into all this deeper stuff. Another thing is dividends from stock, right? You get a return on your investment. What you're doing is investing in someone else's business, and as that business prospers, you, in turn, get dividends, a percentage back, according to how much you invested. See, your money is making money for you. Royalties from songs and books, right? You write a song, you can make it, you know, the Happy Birthday song, I guess Michael Jackson bought the rights to that because it's still making money today. Right? You can write a book. And now, how about write an app? Let's get this into the nowadays. If you're good at computers, you write a simple app, it goes out to the whole world. Even if it's 99 cents, if a million people bought it. And some of the stupid apps that are out there that people pay, what's 99 cents? Oh, I'll buy it. I got an idea for an app. It's called Yoked. And it's based off, do not be unequally yoked. So if anybody knows how to write code for an app, come and talk to me. I got a business idea. But anyways, YouTube. I mean, some of you guys got hobbies that you enjoy doing. For under $1,000, you can be up and running and putting stuff on content on YouTube and get paid for people to watch you do what you do. My boy watches people play video games, and I know there's people in here that play video games. There's nothing wrong with playing video games. Turn on your stinking webcam while you're playing. Say some stupid jokes while you're playing. Just be yourself, right? Load it up to YouTube, and if you want to know, if you want to get a glimpse of what's possible, talk to my son. He knows every single YouTuber. That's what he wants to be when he grows up. He wants to be a YouTuber. Didn't even know what a YouTuber was until he told me. He wants to be a YouTuber, and he says this Sunday or whatever his name is has 1 million followers. And he's got this big house, Dad, and he makes all this money for doing what he wants, just doing what he enjoys doing and having a little bit of personality while he does it. But are you going to be the one that watches it or the one that does it? There's 1 million people that are sitting back watching it. And there's a handful that's doing it. And it's simple. I mean, we got Facebook Live here. If I can do it, You sure the heck can do it. Royalties from songs and books, interest from bonds and CDs. I was golfing this week in my other job, and one guy was about getting ready to retire, another one was already retired, and they were talking about retirement, and I started asking them questions about it, and I started asking them, you know, why would you get into a CD when you're retiring? You took it out of your Roth IRA or your pension or whatever, and put it into a CD, and he says, well, it's more secure. It's more secure, and it doesn't fluctuate with the stock market as much, and you're guaranteed a certain rate of money with a CD. And I was asking these questions. I don't care if I look dumb. No one looks dumb. Me getting ready to retire and not having no money. Right? But they were happy to, I mean, especially older people, they like to impart their knowledge on you. And I'll take all I can get. See, wealth building is fairly simple. It's very simple. It's just not easy. This is simple stuff here. But it's not easy. Because you got to be disciplined. You got to do it. You got to have a vision past what you're going to eat this afternoon. Right? I think there's some stories in the Bible like that. It takes a lot of energy. It takes effort. And like I said, I could go into details, but I'm not qualified to go into details. But I will close in giving you the number one secret for building wealth. Okay? In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, it says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Sounds like a good house to live in, right? It's amazing. It's interesting how the Spirit of God knitted Pastor Tom's call to worship, and because he was talking about wisdom and all of that stuff, knitted with the message today. The number one secret to building wealth is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge. The Bible says people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. And that happens all the time. It's as true as when the prophet said it as it is true today. Knowledge will increase your ability to earn. And it doesn't have to cost a lot either. I've said this over and over again. And there's a reason why I say it over and over again, not because I'm boring. It's because I want you to get it. It doesn't, although sometimes things are worth paying for. It's far better to pay for someone else's experience than paying for it by your mistakes. I find it interesting, and this, I love you guys, okay? But I find it very interesting that through this series, not one person came up to me and asked me, so Chad, what books are you reading? You mentioned podcasts. What podcasts are you listening to? YouTube, there's stuff on YouTube. What's on YouTube? What websites? What blogs? What have you found useful? Where are you getting this stuff? A big part of obtaining knowledge is becoming educated enough just so you know how to ask the right questions. You got it. We got to get past our pride, people. I've done some stuff with money. Personally, I want to go full time ministry, and I'm not going to wait on people to do it. So I've been building my second X so I can go full time because I got to take care of my house because I'm not no infidel, right? I got kids, I got a wife, I got to take care of them first. And God's going to take care of me. When I'm talking to a real estate agent, I ask stupid questions. I feel stupid. Maybe I should know this, or should I ask it? Ask it. If you don't know, ask it. Ask people how they're investing. Ask people, what is a CD? Why are you investing into a CD? Ask questions. How do you run your business? How do you deal with employees? We've got people here that spent big money to go out to every year. Caris Bible College has a business summit. And it's a week-long summit for any business owner, but it's Christian-based. And they invested a large sum of money into doing that. They took time, vacation time, all that. And their business is growing. It gave them vision. But they even said that we need to start doing what we learned. Because if you learn it and you don't do it, guess what you are? You're a teacher. Right? Or you're a pastor. Not all pastors. But anyways, I'm being too honest and open. But anyways, ask questions. Understanding. If you have knowledge but have no understanding on how to apply the knowledge, it can be fatal. Too many people try things without having understanding of how things work in the real world. That's why I'm cautious to go too deep in any of this stuff, because I don't want you running out doing something because Pastor said that this is how you make money and you don't have understanding and you didn't get knowledge. You need to understand how things work. And the whole reason I'm teaching this is because I love you. I want to see you guys rise up from where you are, even higher and higher and higher. I want to see God prospering in your life. I mean, I could preach a lot of other things that would just make your heart flutter and be all happy and skip down the street when you left. But by the end of the week, you're going to need another pep talk because life stinks. And when people don't have understanding and they run out and they fail, you know what they do? You know what they do? They blame God. Or they blame the process. So many people, when I talk, we've talked about sowing and reaping, they say, well, I tried that. I gave some money once and it didn't work for me. You don't try faith. You either believe it or you don't believe it. They blame God. They blame the process. They blame all that. But they didn't do it. They didn't work it. Wisdom. Warren Buffett. I shared something just this week on Warren Buffett on Facebook, and it was awesome. It was awesome. He says the secret to making money is not losing money. He says, personally, I have lost a lot of money in the stock market, but the good news is that I had the money to lose. And the better news is that overall, I still made more than I lost. When I started out, I lost a lot of money when I acted before having knowledge, understanding, wisdom in the right areas. Truthfully, they financial advisors would tell you that it's very unwise to invest in single stocks, right? I've done it twice. And I lost all my money both times. You want to know why? Because I didn't know a thing about what I was doing. Is it wrong to invest in stocks? Is it wrong to invest in single stocks? No, it's not wrong. But you should know what you're doing, right? You should know what you're doing. And if you're into that, I'm not into it. It bores me to death, right? I don't understand it. It's got a lot of math in it. But if you're into that, get into it. Warren Buffett was into it, and he's doing pretty good. If you have $1,000, if you have $1,000 here today, no, I'm not going to say, sow it, and God's going to make you rich. But no, my goodness, this is live too. But anyways, if you have $1,000 today, and you need to ask someone, how should I invest this $1,000? Here's my advice. If you need to ask how to invest something, invest it in getting knowledge. Investing in getting understanding. Invest it in getting wisdom. Attend a seminar, right? It's worth going to a seminar. If you want to get into real estate, they got seminars on real estate. They got online. Now, a lot of stuff you can just do online, right? Billy Uphire has stuff. There, you don't even have to ask me. There's one place you can go. Dave Ramsey, he has this whole curriculum on getting out of debt, but he also has it on investing and building that second X that we talked about. If you don't know how to invest $1,000, you need to get wisdom. You need to get understanding. You need to get knowledge. Purchase audio or video programs on the subjects to help you know how to build wealth. And again, I'm going to say this again, also find the right people to associate with that can broaden your knowledge and your understanding. There's so many things. Listen, there's something in the Bible that I think applies to all areas. It says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church that they could pray, anoint them with oil, right? Right? It's not the job of people, the elders, or an elder in finance, or elder, or what those that have understanding and wisdom and knowledge, to think, I'm going to go invest in that person. Right? What it's saying is if someone's sick, they are to call for the elders. They say, come and pray for me. Right? And so many Christians think it's the job of other people to come to them instead of by faith saying, I want you to come to me. And the same thing can be said with wisdom and finances. Get around people. Invite someone out to coffee. Talk to them. Have a conversation. It doesn't have to be that big. Just say, what have you done? How did you start a business? Where did you get the capital to start your own business? How does that work? What's a business plan? I mean, truthfully, if you're really shy, you can just type it in on the Google. What's a business plan? And it all comes up on there. But it's better to have community. It's better to have a mentor. It's better to have someone that's done it that can show you some stuff that, yeah, the books say this, but this is how it really works in the real world, right? There's so much stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. God has given each one of us the power to make wealth. Are you a servant that is willing to put it to use? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that even if we've done dumb mistakes, you are a God of supernatural. Yes, you're a God of order. Yes, you're a God that of process. You're a God that has put natural law, you've put spiritual law into the world, but you have the wisdom that even in our failures, mistakes, and shortcomings, to make all things work together for good for those that love God and are called by your name. And this morning, we sit here as those that love you. We sit here as those that have been called out and called by your name. And we just ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would teach us how to use the power that you have given us to make wealth, that you would establish your covenant through us, that you would glorify your kingdom through the area of finances. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.